right out of the box, we welcome in from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Well, a little more time on my hands now that I don't have to stay up and watch the Bruins, so I got that going for me.
Yeah, it's not ideal, right? It's always a bummer when the spring-summer hockey run ends a little earlier than you expected. But, yeah, you know, got two rounds out of it, some entertainment, and we'll take that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And clearly, and even more so after what they did to Tampa Bay in the opener, the better team won that series.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is a team that is really surprising me, you know, to be honest with you. I thought that this was a good team, not a great team. But when you jump out the way they have against the Lightning, you beat the Bruins and the Penguins, you've beaten three Stanley Cup cores. Right? The Bruins one is again, it's 10 years old now, but still a Stanley Cup core with Team Bergeron and Krejci and Marchand. So to beat the Penguins, the Bruins, and now to start well against the Lightning, it's a good start for New York, and it really speaks to how Barry Trotz has that team playing in terms of their overall commitment in all three zones. So they might be legit. They honestly might be legit now. Yeah, we can't deny it anymore.
And it's not blame. I'm past that stage. I've moved on from there now. But as you analyze what went wrong for the Bruins in that series, is it safe to say that the biggest reason was just the lack of depth?
Oh, definitely. I think lack of depth defensively was a huge, huge problem for this team. They gambled on their youth, right, with moving on from Chara and Krug and just bringing in Zboril and Lozon and hoping that Vaakanainen maybe would have done something for them. They really just didn't have the horses at the end of the day, defensively. And then offensively, you look at their elimination game. The production comes from Pastrnak. Game five, it's Pastrnak carrying the load. Game six is Marchand carrying the load. So, again, too top-heavy and not deep enough. And that's been the problem for this team for a long time now. And once again, it reared its ugly head against a team that doesn't let you have a lot of space out there.
Well, so now going forward, some decisions to be made, and let's start with, well, one of the many big ones, I guess, and that's the goaltender situation. Surgery coming up for Tuukka Rask, but I don't know, can you see a scenario where the Bruins opt to go with two very young, inexperienced goaltenders?
So I was actually looking back and trying to figure out the last time that they did something like this, going with two young goaltenders. And I landed on 2005 with Hannu Toivonen and Andrew Raycroft. And we all know how that season went. The best thing to come out of that year was the emergence of Tim Thomas, who at the time was 32 years old. So it would be very unlikely, right, because they just haven't done it in the past. At the same time, if you're a free agent goaltender, do you really want to come to Boston knowing that, let's just say they signed Tuukka, that he's going to be back in January or February and you're going to be out of a job? So they're in a weird spot here. Right, I could see them going a number of different ways. I could also see Swayman beginning the year in the AHL, where he'll get more playing time and more development if they believe that's necessary. So depending on what options are available, and by that I mean truly available and willing to sign with the Bruins for the right price, that may determine where they go with that. But one thing to remember here entering next year is that Vladar is out of options, so he can't go to the minors without waivers. Swayman has options, and Tuukka's going to be back in January or February. So depending on what they do there, you can have a number of different plans. They could go with both young guys. That would surprise me. But we're going to have to wait and see who is available to them on the free agent market.
All right, what are the other, what I'd say is the next most important move from your perspective for the Bruins to make?
They need more defensemen. And when I say that, they need more high-impact, legit, proven defenseman in this league. David Savard is a free agent. Tampa was with Columbus. Jamie Oleksiak, 6'7", big defenseman, left shot, with the Dallas Stars, the free agent, could be a good depth option as well. Alec Martinez with the Golden Knights is a free agent as well. The trade market, you have Noah Hanifin, could be available for the Calgary Flames. The Bruins liked him a lot in the 2015 draft. So they have some options, but that's the biggest need, right? Because I just look at, there's a lot of pressure on Charlie McAvoy and even Matt Grizzly, right? So you want to alleviate some of that pressure off of them. And I think the best way to do that is to give more depth there. So you can roll three pairings versus leaning on one and hoping that Brandon Carlo, who's had four concussions in 50 months now, doesn't get hurt again, right? So you want more stability, you want more assurance, and I think you can get some of that with some of these veteran guys available on the free agent market.
Speaking of Brandon Carlo, you had a really interesting piece on him, and you worry with all the concussions what the future might be, but one of those people who's not worried is Brandon Carlo.
Yeah, and you never know, right? You never know if it's a player simply being stubborn or wanting to be a gamer, but it is concerning, right, to have four concussions since 2017. The way he plays, the way his game is predicated on absorbing punishment to make plays, to play that physical style in front of his net, it's a little bit concerning, right? And he's a great player. He makes a difference, right? When he went out in the New York series, you just saw how it got so much easier for the Islanders. But you want to know he's going to be A-okay and B, physically there, you know? So that's the problem, I think, and that's why I'm saying that the Bruins need to go out and get them in defense, because Carlo, when he's available, is a great second-pairing guy. The problem is if he's not available and you have that drop-off, it drastically changes your team.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. What do you think the Bruins do with David Krejci?
I think he's back. I think he's back on a two-year deal, say $4.5 to $5 million per season. There's really nobody available that I would look at and say, okay, that's a drastic upgrade over what David Krejci can do for your team. And also, Jack Spanika did not take the leap we thought he was going to this year. And Charlie Coyle's first year of his new contract, not exactly how they drew it up. So you didn't have that in-house progression, and David Krejci can still play. So, and he wants to be here, not about the money. So I think a two-year deal, around $4.5 to $5 million per, is ultimately where they land. But we're going to wait and see. That was a weird interview. That was a weird exit interview with him, talking about how he didn't have a straight answer. He didn't have anything to say to anybody, really, saying it was a lot of we'll see, I don't know. That's always weird to me, just because he's a guy who, you know, it's been certainty for a long time for him. Now there's uncertainty. So what does that mean, and how does that get resolved? I think we're going to have to wait and see, but I ultimately think that he is back with the Bruins on a short-term deal.
So can the Bruins get themselves in this short offseason back in the position of being a contender as early as next year?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I think their best course of action is to bring the band back again. Taylor Hall, David Krejci, Tuukka Rask, and then you use some of that leftover money. Sorry there. You use some of that leftover money to address these issues that we've talked about, right? The depth, not having enough bodies on the wing. So you do things like that, and you run it back. I do think that this team is a good team. They're still a good team. They just need a bit more tweaking towards the bottom of their roster to make them more complete.
I thought a really good and important piece that you did, Ty, on Chris Wagner, because we tend to forget sometimes in the heat of the moment that these are young guys. They're human. They live lives beyond the world of hockey. And Chris Wagner has been very upfront and open about his struggles with anxiety. And I think it's great that more people hear about that.
Yeah, no, it's huge. And I think with Wagner in particular, he's a tough guy, right? He's a townie. I'm losing my voice here for some reason. Sorry about that. No, but he's a tough guy. He goes out there, blocks shots, does everything the right way, and you notice that, hey, there's a battle going on there between the ears. And it's huge for a guy like that to speak up and to say what he goes through. And it was a tough year for a lot of players, talking to guys involved in the process. Road trips were difficult. They weren't allowed to leave the hotel. And if you're struggling, like Wagner was, right? And when I say that, I mean on ice. This was probably his worst year with the Bruins. He was struggling, and there's really no escape from that, right? You can't go for a walk. You can't go to a nice dinner. There's a lot of things that these guys couldn't do to get their minds off of hockey, right? And if you're not loving the game, and if you're not playing the way that you want to be playing, that's tough. That's a tough spot to put yourself in. So it was great that Wagner was honest about it, because I think the more guys that are honest about it, the less of a stigma there is with talking about mental health. So it's great to hear and talk about it. And it's great to know that he's sort of out of that darker place and he's getting himself back to normal here with society reopening.
Absolutely. So going forward, Ty, as we look to next year, any news on the schedule? Will we get back to our traditional alignments and divisions for next year?
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to go right back to normal with the divisions. We're going to have to wait and see what happens with Canada, but the fact that they were given an exemption status for this round with Montreal and Vegas would indicate that I would imagine by October next year that, or October this year, rather, we are closer towards that open border. So it sounds like it's going to be normal. The timeline's going to be normal as well, October start. You're probably going to have a break there in February for the Olympics. In China, the negotiations continue between the IIHF and the Olympic Committee, so and the NHL. So we're going to see what happens there. But yeah, it's going to be normal again, and so it's going to be really difficult for the Cup winner with the Cup being awarded in probably, I would guess, early to mid July based on the current schedule. So we're going to see how that goes, but. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be business normal for the NHL come 2021-22.
All right. So speaking of the Cup, who's the best team standing? Who do you like to win it all at this point?
I like Vegas a lot. I like Marc-Andre Fleury, the way he's playing right now. I like their defense, the way that they can defend and create offense at the other end. I'm a big fan of Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty. These guys are proven scorers. They can score in a variety of ways as well. They still have that line that powered them to the final in their first year with Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault. Just a deep team, just a really deep, complete team. So it's easy to say right now, but I still like Vegas and Tampa as the Cup final, and I like Vegas to win it all. Just a real solid team, but I got a feeling we're going to get a great Stanley Cup no matter who emerges here. Save for Montreal, because I don't really like watching that team. They're kind of boring. Just my personal opinion, and also I don't want to see Montreal win a Stanley Cup. Come on now. I live, born and raised in Boston. We can't have that happening. No. I simply can't support that.
So, there you go.
I'm going to stick with my gut and say Vegas wins it all at the end of the day.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, appreciate it. As always, thanks for making time this afternoon, and we will catch up with you again before too long.
Sounds great, Rich, and I'm really sorry that my voice gave out halfway through. I have no idea what happened there, so... Sorry about that. The off season is calling me, though. I'll take that.
Well, you know, that's it. You've put in a busy year, and so you need a little break. take a day off. Tell the Sports Hub, listen, I need just a couple days, and I'll be back.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to do that right now. Thanks for having me, Rich.
I'll write you a note. Thanks, Ty. Ty Anderson on Downtown.